Good morning and welcome to this week's The New P&L to the Point. The New P&L to the Point is a weekly podcast series where in around 10 minutes each week, we break down the key elements of our weekly The New P&L conversations with industry leaders and entrepreneurs. We offer an opinion on the key points from the conversations and how our listeners may practically apply them in their business. This week on The New P&L to the Point, we break down and analyze our conversation with Sarah Kay, author of the brilliant new book, Brand New World, Define the Role of Your Brand to Create a Bold Future. Sarah is founder of Create a Bold Future, a global brand advisor, and the former head of global brand innovation at Nike. And Sarah believes that brands exist to benefit humanity, not the other way around. So we need to make brands work harder for us. And she specializes in futures thinking and often partners with CEOs and CMOs to help them define the role of their brand in creating a bold future for humanity and for the planet. And a lot of our conversation with Sarah was around exploring with her what could be achieved on a regional and a global scale from a business perspective if brands chose to work collaboratively together for the greater good, and what some of the barriers are to achieving this from a leadership perspective. And one of the statistics that really jumped out at me, both in the book and in my conversation with Sarah on Wednesday, was the collective revenue of the top 50 brands in the world. Because together, that would make them roughly equivalent in size to the GDP of the world's fifth largest economy, which, according to my research this morning, is India. So the world's 50 top brands have the same collective buying power, commercial power, financial power as India, the world's fifth largest economy. So if we can, just for a moment, put the inevitable realities of geopolitics aside, in a theoretical sense, Sarah's point is that this select group of the world's top 50 brands have the power for incredibly positive change should they collectively or largely choose to do so for the collective good of humanity and the collective good of the planet. And if we think about it, if just 50 companies out of the millions of companies in the world chose to change the way they did things, the way they impacted on the environment, the way they treated their staff, their communities, the contributions they made through taxation and so on, how beyond transformational would the world then look? It sounds simple, doesn't it? And it is, and it isn't. It isn't because, broadly speaking, we can't simply put aside the incredible social, political, economic, and environmental complexities the world faces. However, this in my mind is where the pandemic has given us some hope of the possibility of some form of collective action when the absolute necessity of a moment meets the collective will to do something to address it. And I'll caveat this next point by saying I completely recognize that there have been inconsistencies in responses to the pandemic, inconsistencies in recognizing the scale of what we've had to face, and inconsistencies in the level of collaboration. But if we can move beyond these for the moment to the principle of the various forms of global and regional collaboration we've seen over the last 18 months, those levels of collaboration I have not witnessed in my 50 years plus on the planet. And this is because, as I say, that collective necessity of that moment and the size and the scale of the perceived challenge met a forceful collective will to do something about it for the collective good. So this, in my mind, is where incredibly complex problems always invariably boil down, eventually, to incredibly simple solutions. When you strip away the padding, if you like, the padding that aims to or encourages the expansion of the complexity of a solution. So what is that incredibly simple solution? For me, it ultimately comes down to will, individual will and collective will, political will and industry will, leadership will, ultimately. And in the context of what we're discussing today with regard to Sarah's book, it comes down to a business leader's willingness to make a change in an area or given areas of their business. Because will is the essence of all change in business and all change in society. If we want something to change and we have the will to make it change, it will ultimately change. There are so many things we want to change in business and life. Many things we would change, and many fewer things we have, for whatever reason, had the genuine will to change. And that's where much of the frustration lies for many people in business, like Sarah, like me, and many, many others. Because change for the collective good simply takes the will of a leader or leaders to start that journey towards change. Any leader at any time could say, that's enough now. We're not doing X, Y, or Z anymore. We're going to do this instead and plot and take action towards that way forward. But the problem is the foundation for will, the characteristics that set will up for success, is courage. And this is where some brands and management teams and leaders fail. They don't have the will because ultimately they don't have the courage to stand up and say, we're going to do the right thing because it's the right thing, and we're going to find a way to ensure we don't compromise the company in the process, but we know we have to do this, we have to make this change, our will is strong, and we are ready to deliver on it. All of this takes courage in leadership to find a new way forward, to work with stakeholders, many of which have conflicting demands and needs from the business. And this is especially true in the first instance when you're asking those stakeholders to commit to addressing some of the environmental and social and economic challenges that are entrenched and take years of effort to overcome or improve, when they are used to a business world that financially rewards them and you by the quarter or the half year or the year, for example. And I should say, of course, at this point that will in its own doesn't guarantee success. It doesn't guarantee the road will be easy. Of course it doesn't. And to use another example, will is at the heart of innovation. The desire, the drive, the will to solve a problem through the development of a new transformative product or technology or service. But that doesn't mean the journey is easy simply because the will is there. You can ask any entrepreneur, but their will and the determination that comes from it helps to ensure that that product, technology, or service will eventually come to fruition, because only true will drive real change. And surely this is actually what defines great leadership. Not just managing a company and a brand, but leading it forward with a vision that builds a better future and places it firmly on the right side of history, not just a part player in the present. So the short story is, managers manage the present in business. Leaders define the future of business and the future of society. And brands have a key role to play in the future of our societal development. And it takes will and courage to be a leader. And leaders use their will to drive their words and their actions, whereas others use their words instead of their will. And the last few years are littered with well-meaning, but in hindsight, rather vacuous corporate reports, where words and promises have been a substitute for will and action, not a precursor to them. So my challenge to listeners today is to ask yourself, are you a manager or a leader? What will you do to affect real change within your organization, to lead your organization at whatever level you happen to be? And I'm not talking about turning the business upside down tomorrow. I'm just asking how you will use your will, then your words and actions, to move forward in the right direction and lead, not just manage your organization. So my final question is, how will you all make a small change today for the bigger collective good tomorrow? Thank you once again for listening to the new P&L To The Point this Friday. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, please take a moment to go back and listen to Sarah's interview, episode 135. And please join us again next week on Wednesday for the new P&L deep discussion, and then for the new P&L To The Point again next Friday. If you would like to subscribe, please do take a moment to go to principlesandleadership.com, fill out the subscription form, and join our new P&L community and the new P&L movement. I'm Paul, host of the new P&L To The Point. Thank you once again for listening, and have a great day.